Good morning, church. Today we turn to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, and think about how Jesus shows care for those who are marginalized. In particular, we're looking at a case of 10 men who are suffering with leprosy, and Jesus enters their world to show them mercy. Leprosy gets mentioned several times in the Bible. It affected the skin, the nerves, the eyes, and the nose lining. And it brought with it a stigma in the Bible. It had no cure. Today, thankfully, we live in a time when it's treatable. And leprosy today is referred to as Hansen's disease. The name change, obviously, was part of the move to take away the stigma that came with leprosy. In the Bible, it does seem, however, that leprosy was a term used for a variety of skin conditions and diseases. Those affected by leprosy were outcasts and often became beggars in the margins of society. No one was allowed to touch them because, according to Jewish law, if you touched someone who was suffering from leprosy, you would become unclean. And that's why it's amazing in a different part of the Bible when Jesus heals a man who has leprosy, Jesus actually touches them, breaking that law in order to show that he had come to bring wholeness and healing. In fact, it was a shock that someone of such a high standing as Jesus would stop and care for people affected by leprosy. Today's passage draws attention to two important themes in Luke. The first one is Jesus' care for the marginalized. And the second one, the appropriate response to Jesus' healing. Luke is careful to help us understand as we read his writing that Jesus was often attending to those in the margins of society. In this particular passage, it's 10 men affected by leprosy, and one of them was a double outcast. He was a Samaritan. Samaritans were undesirable and unwelcome outsiders to the Jewish people. Secondly, the appropriate response to Jesus' healing we see was faith and gratitude. Faith that Jesus can change one's situation and gratitude for Jesus' acts of mercy. This passage comes as part of a narrative that we began way back in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. In that verse we read, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. In chapter 17, verse 11, we read, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Jesus was literally on the margins of Israelite territory as he slowly but surely made his way to Jerusalem, where he was to be put to death as part of the completion of his mission on earth. His mission was to seek and to save that which was lost, as recorded in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. In today's passage, Jesus crosses a social boundary as he shows mercy to 10 men affected by leprosy, one of whom have said was a Samaritan. Now, some key points that we find in this passage in terms of observation that I would like to highlight. The first one is in verse 12. The Bible tells us that as he was going into a village, we find that the village is not mentioned, showing that it was a very insignificant village because it is not named. In verse 12 and verse 13, 10 men affected by leprosy stood at a distance and called out loudly, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. It shows how socially they were ostracized, that they could not even come near to Jesus because of the uncleanliness. They simply stood at a distance and called out loudly to Jesus. These men seemingly had formed a community of their own. in which they provided support for each other because of their condition that was simply a terrible disease. As a result, we find that an exclusion by law, by religion, and by society was hanging upon them. Yet Jesus was willing to enter their world and show them mercy. Interestingly, they addressed Jesus as Master. This was a title used by his disciples, and somehow they recognized Jesus as their Master. In verse 14, Jesus sees them and listens to them and instructs them to go and show themselves to the priests. The priests could not cure them, but according to the law, could declare that healing had happened. They obey Jesus in verse 15 and 16 and go, which is an act of faith. One of them, on seeing that he was healed as he went, returned to Jesus to give thanks and praise. He was a Samaritan. He is the one who returns with gratitude. It's important to know that here, that the cleansing of those with leprosy was one of the identifying signs of Jesus' mission as the coming Messiah. We see that in Luke chapter 7 and verse 22. This was a significant point to point to the fact that Jesus was accomplishing his mission on earth as he was seeking and saving those who were lost. Now, the words of Jesus in this passage we read today highlight three important truths that Jesus spends time to teach us from the passage where he does or brings about the miracle of healing. In verse 17, we read, Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Jesus is asking the question, weren't 10 of them healed? Weren't 10 of them purged? Is it not that 10 had their contamination removed? Where are the rest? The cleansing of the lepers was a healing, was a purging. Jesus was bringing wholeness, and he wanted us to learn that from this passage. The second thing that Jesus highlights is recorded in verse 18. Jesus asks the question, has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Literally, he's saying, has no one returned to give glory and honor to God? There's a lesson here that as a result of the healing that Jesus has demonstrated as he establishes his kingdom on earth, the appropriate response for those who experience healing from Jesus is that they ought to return to him with praise and honor. This is an act of worship. People can be healed, and Jesus healed many. We don't have every healing recorded in the scriptures, because the Bible would not be able to contain them all. Today, Jesus continues to heal. But the point Jesus is making, that when God does a miraculous act, the right response is to come back to him in worship. Thirdly, we see in verse 19, then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Literally, Jesus is saying, your faith has saved you. It's one thing to be physically healed, but it's another thing to have one put their faith and trust in God. Jesus shows mercy to so many, and there are many provisions for our life and for our physical beings that God can do for us. But ultimately, the wholeness that comes, the salvation that comes to us that makes all the difference, is that our faith may make us well, that our faith in God may save us. I want to point out some lessons that we can take from today's passage. The first one is that we learn from the Samaritan his recognition that it was God who was at work, and that's why he returned to thank Jesus and to fall at the feet of Jesus. It is an amazing thing to think that he had this understanding that to thank God was actually to glorify God. This was an expression of faith which brought him healing. Jesus intentionally enters the worlds of those who are ignored, scorned, or unwanted to bring wholeness and purging from sin. And in this mind of an outcast, or in the experience of an outcast, one who was not part of the Jewish community, Jesus teaches us, as he intentionally walked between Jerusalem or Galilee and Samaria, in between those two territories, in order that he may bring healing to those who are on the margins. We see that Jesus helps us appreciate that this Samaritan thanked God and glorified God, and this was an expression of his faith, his trust, his understanding that it was God who was doing work upon him, and he needed that wholeness, and therefore come back to God and to Jesus with thanks. Secondly, I want to point out that it may also be a good point for us to think of marginal areas of our own lives, aspects of our lives that we don't want to be seen or for others to know about because of the disease, the decay, the guilt, or the shame that blight those areas. Jesus has come to enter such spaces too. He wants to bring healing and wholeness there if only we call out to him. And as Jesus touches these places, may it elicit a fresh outpouring of gratitude from us, an expression of our faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Friends, we live in troubled times where it is possible for us, despite all the advancements of life, of technology, or progress, to be in a life of great social and emotional poverty, leave alone spiritual poverty that exists all around us. It was Eric Fromm who wrote in his book, The Sane Society. These are his words. It is indeed amazing that in as fundamentally an irreligious culture as ours, the sense of guilt should be so widespread and deep-rooted as it is. We are very much in a very irreligious culture, and yet guilt is so widespread. He goes on to say that even though people abhor the use of a sense of guilt as a way in quotes, to talking about Christian truth, we cannot do justice to God and the cross without it. The truth is that whether or not we feel guilty, we cannot hide the fact that we are guilty. Friends, this morning, this passage reminds us that those marginalized areas of our life that are on their margins, hidden from the rest of society, can be points where we can connect and come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is looking and waiting for people who will call out to him as Master to enter into those spaces to bring restoration and wholeness. Thirdly, I would say, what might God be saying to you about gratitude? Today's passage highlights to us the experience of someone who was touched by Jesus, experienced his mercy, grace, and healing, and his response was that of gratitude. Could there be something that God has done for you, and you have not yet returned to thank him and to glorify him for that. When is the last time you were truly thankful to God for something he has done in your life? It's only a week ago, I was in a conference that was continental-wide across Africa. We were using three languages, English, Portuguese, and French. As we had our rehearsal on the Monday evening, one of the Portuguese translators who was supposed to help us translate from English into Portuguese never showed up. And as a conference leader and organizer, it was a bit of a frustration. But an hour after our meeting, we discovered that during the time just before our meeting, as he was traveling from the airport in Johannesburg on his way home, he was robbed by robbers at about 4:30 p.m. His car was stolen and all that he had was stolen. It was a traumatizing experience. When in the WhatsApp group, one person heard this story, his response was, "Thanks be to God that God protected your life." That's what our response should be about issues of life. Sometimes we worry so much about material things that can be easily lost. But what about the so many things that we cannot buy with money that God provides for us and for which we need to go back to God daily, including for the food that we have, to be grateful and thankful? This particular incident with the translator reminded me about an illustration I had read about Matthew Henry. He was a famous scholar and once was accosted by thieves and robbed. He wrote these words in his diary: "Let me be thankful first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." As we stand before a holy God to whom we are totally dependent for the air we breathe, for the food we have, for even the shelter that we live in, all good and perfect gifts come from God above. And maybe the challenge for us living in a Western society that has been very affluent for many years, as we go through a few months and years of a bit harder economic situation, is that God may return us to a place of truly lives of gratitude. And fourth and last point or lesson that I would draw from today's passage, I would also like to draw your attention to the subject of faith. Faith is the belief and the trust in God's plan of salvation for our lives. We live in a culture where God has been relegated to the periphery of society. We basically operate from Monday through Saturday and maybe even through Sunday without any reference to God in our lives. We live in, therefore, a culture where people create God to what they want him to be. The way we have a lot of technology and gadgets that assist us live the lives we want to live, God is just one of those additions that comes in to do our bidding. That's how the culture has shaped God to be. For others, people live to suppress God's revelation of himself. God is continuing to speak to us through creation, through his word. He is speaking clearly and sending a message of his love for us, of his care for us, of his commitment, of his desire that we may live with him in a relationship that is living and fruitful, where he is the Lord who ought to be worshipped, adored, and praised. And yet so often we suppress God's revelation. We want to lead our lives the way we choose. When God invites us to a life of obedience or sacrifice, we argue and rationalize it in our hearts, and therefore our service and worship is not truly wholehearted. Today, may we learn from this foreigner, this Samaritan, who was an outsider, unwanted, one not desired. And yet Jesus used this occasion as he entered into that space to show that it's that person who puts their faith in Jesus and his actions, and who received salvation and wholeness from the condition that affected his life. Others too were healed, but it's this particular one who came and acknowledged through his faith in Jesus that truly he is the object of our worship. May God help us as we seek to obey him and live for him, to learn that God is revealing himself to us. And even today, he's inviting you to respond in faith. Maybe there are those listening who still do not have a living relationship with God, or that relationship is quite distant. But despite the distance, we can stand and cry out to Jesus today and say, Master, have pity on me. Or Master, show mercy to me, that we may enter into a living relationship with Jesus, that he may cleanse us, purge us from the things that separate us or affect or contaminate the relationship we ought to have with him. Where there could be things we don't understand, maybe there's a mental picture of God we have created, where we have suppressed the truth about God, that he's speaking to us through his gentle voice. Jesus' desire is to invite us to come and dine with him, to experience that living, wholesome relationship with him, where we are dependent on him, where we live lives of worship, of surrender, of praise, of gratitude to him. Because that's why he came, to restore each one of us back to a living relationship with God. The things I'm saying perhaps could be distant to some of us because we have grown up distant from God and some of these things don't make sense. But let me assure you that as we draw nearer to God to find clarification, perhaps come and pray with someone within the church today, speak to one of the leaders, so that you may discover for yourself what it means to walk in a living relationship with Jesus, who is coming to create wholeness and restore us into the place where God wants us to be. We see in today's passage sick men being cleansed and made whole. However, beyond that, we must not lose focus on the recognition of what God himself is doing. Beyond our physical cures and supplies of our physical needs, God is looking for faith, that we may be people of faith, people who can trust him, people who can take him at his word, that when he gives us commands, like to the 10 men affected by leprosy, to go to the priests and show themselves, that we too may be willing to obey and trust that his restoration will come to us as we walk in obedience to him. So Jesus is working, Jesus is healing, Jesus is restoring. But notice the response that is required from us from today's passage is faith, thanksgiving, and praise to God. There's a running theme there that Jesus is doing his miraculous work, but he's also inviting us to respond to him. And from the three statements he makes in this passage, he makes it clear that Jesus is looking for faith from you and I. He's looking for gratitude and thanksgiving from you and I. And he's looking for praise, worship to him as the one who deserves all the praise, honor, and worship. I'll finish by a story that I read from Max Lucado's book, No Wonder They Call Him Savior. It talks about a young girl living in the slums of a city of Brazil. She was frustrated and tired of living in poverty in this home on a wooden pallet. She wanted to have greater dignity in her life. So she rebelled and ran away from home to the big city, where she hoped life would become better. Her mother knew that the only lifestyle for such a young girl was to enter into prostitution. So with a broken heart, with the little savings she had, she produced photos, passport photographs of herself, the mother, and decided to go and look for her daughter in the big city. She went across every place, every night place or lodging that she could think about, and put small passport size photos of herself on those places, hoping that one day her daughter will come walking through those the staircases or the streets of Rio and find that see her mother's photo, and that will remind her to come back home. And yes, that's exactly what happened. One day she saw that photo, and as she picked it up off the wall, there were words written behind the photo, on the back of the photo, that says, "No matter what you have done, no matter what you have become, please come home." That was the cry of a mother to a child that had become rebellious, albeit with good reasons, tired of her poverty. And today, God is inviting us to come back home, to cast aside the things that hold us back, the frustrations of our life, because Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. No matter what you have done, no matter what you have become, please come home. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living word. And this morning, as we look at the passage in Luke, we thank you that you remind us that you are one who comes to show mercy to the marginalized and even to those areas of our lives hidden from others where we experience marginalization. We pray that your healing touch may come to us. And we also pray that we may have the courage to respond this morning in faith, in gratitude, and in praise to you as our Lord and Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.